Hey guys, I'm so glad you're back. This is episode 131. Can you believe it? It's so cool. And today we're talking about strengthening your trauma-informed care and how does that really affect your students and their behaviors. So this is the recorded episode that I did on March 26th live. And I wanted to share it with all of you, and because I feel like there's a lot of good information that can help you transform your students' behavior by strengthening your trauma-informed care. And that's by showing, you know, the empathy and compassion and knowing that your students react differently to trauma. And sometimes it's in a very loud, different way. Other times it's in a very quiet way. But being trauma-informed will help you become create a better, safer environment for your students so that they can grow and learn and be the best learner that they possibly can while they are in your class. So listen in and let me know if you have any questions, thoughts. You can go to my website, www.behaviorstrategiesforclass.com, and contact me there. Also, YouTube, you can check out some of my shorts there and leave me a message there. Also, DM me in LinkedIn or on Facebook. I would really love to hear from you and see if there's any other way that I can help you and your students. Thanks so much. Welcome to Behavior Strategies for Class. I am Diane Bachman, your behavior paraprofessional with over 15 years of experience working in special education. And I'm so glad you're here because I'll be teaching you about social-emotional learning, behavior strategies, trauma-informed care, and more. So if you are tired of being frustrated and not knowing what to do with your students who have challenging and disruptive behavior, you're in the right place. Now, if you're ready to become more equipped to help your students learn and grow, let's listen in to Hey guys, thanks for being here today. Hopefully it is your spring break and so you get a little bit of time to connect together. And unfortunately, we have snow again here in Colorado during spring break, of course. That's so fabulous. But that's okay, because I am nice and warm and in here and ready to connect with you and teach you some of the things that I have learned in my experience working in special education. And so let me introduce myself. I am Diane Bachman, and I am a behavior paraprofessional right now, like I said, with over 15 years experience in special education. And I have really worked with kids pretty much my whole life, working in children's ministry at my churches, doing Awana, volunteering in PTA in California when my kids were younger. And so it has been a journey and continues to be a journey. Because right now I am in a behavior program where I work with students who have had challenging behaviors, mostly because of traumatic events in their lives. And so we teach them behavior strategies, coping skills, and also help them with their academics. And so that is definitely something that I continue to learn on how to help these students be successful as much as possible. Because as you can imagine, students who have traumatic events that are dealing with them now, they're not really thinking about school and how they need to be doing their work. They have a million other things on their minds. So we help as much as we can get them focused, doing their best, and getting them back into their gen ed class and back to learning. So over the years, I have had teachers, educators ask, you know, how can we help the student who struggles with this? And so I've kind of compiled some of the information and experiences that I have worked with through the years, in special education. And I want to help you so that your students can become more engaged in their learning and you will have to deal with less disruptive behavior. So that's a little bit about me. So one of the areas I talk about is laying that foundation in your classroom. Now, I know it's near the end of the year and you guys have pretty much already laid the foundation, but if you're at spring break, coming back from spring break is a great time to kind of readjust, calibrate those expectations in your class. Those foundations, you know, are there places where you can tweak a little bit or maybe get a little more clear? Or maybe there's something over here you don't need as much anymore. Your students know what to do. So laying that foundation is really key. And again, like I said, tweaking it, I'm sure as you've done probably over this year, adjusting things here and there, is a great way to just establish the tone in your classroom. And that's by the way you greet your students in the morning. I've been in some schools where they greet them just coming or at the door. So before they even get into the classroom, they're, you know, given a high five. And some of them have posters on their doors, you know, with a high five, a smile, you know, elbow bump, sometimes a kick bump, you know, all these different ways to greet, side hugs, you know, whatever works for you and your students, I think is so great to see students be happy to be in the class. Then there's another teacher I've worked with, and he's always has something crazy going on in his class. He would either have like the weekend's race or the weekend's game that was on, or he gives the kids nicknames and he greets them that way. So he really created a family fun atmosphere. Now, granted, he's not the most neat and organized person, but kids obviously don't really care about that. But, you know, it's what works for you. And so that works for him. And so he sets the tone in his class. When his students come in, like they are excited, they're happy to be there. They're not really sure probably what to expect that day. What game are they going to play? He gets out there and plays with them at recess. I mean, he really is, does all of the things. And that is part of building that connection, laying that foundation. And so another way to help lay that foundation, or just if you need to, is your body language, your tone of voice. I know you know those make a difference. And sometimes we don't realize like we're coming off like, you know, we're in somebody's face when we don't realize it. And so we just need to be more aware of how are we approaching an escalated student. How is our tone of voice? Are we screaming back at them because they're screaming at you? Are we, I don't know, even just folding our arms, like we could really care less what you're saying right now because you should be working. And I get that. But to keep that opening of relationship, we don't want to be, you know, so defensive. We talk a lot about a supportive stance through CPI, NCI, whatever it's called, where you are in learning that nonviolent crisis intervention. And they talk a lot about having a supportive stance. So you're not always squared off with a student. You're kind of at an angle and you're letting them know like, okay, I'm listening. Sorry, but You know, I'm not here to fight you about it. Because you feel challenged. If somebody's up in your face and they're squaring off with you, you feel challenged. And so we don't want that, because that raises that student's alert. And so they are ready to fight and they're not going to listen to you and they're going to shut down. We've had students that just shut down. Some students just walk out of the room. Some students, you know, they dump over their desk before they leave the room, or maybe push over their chair, whatever it is. We don't want to escalate the situation. So your tone of voice and your body language really helps set the tone in your classroom. And, you know, maybe it's not the time to interact. Or you give that redirect and then you just walk away. We've done that as well too. You know, just saying, okay, when you're ready to talk, you know, sit in your chair and I'll know you're ready. Or, you know, if they need a break, then you need to tell me you need a break. Or if you have a calm corner or a quiet corner, you can just say, hey, you can go over there. You can go to the quiet corner and walk away. Sometimes it's just giving a simple redirect, no engagement, and you're moving on to whatever else you were doing. Because it's hard, I know, because they're being disruptive and you want to stop that disruption. But sometimes setting the tone and laying that foundation in your room is letting them know, like, it's not always going to be appropriate for me to stop and have this full-on conversation about whatever it is that you're upset about. We have to move on, but know that I see you and, you know, we can talk later or whatever it is. Other times I have seen teachers that they do stop and they do talk to that student. And most of the time, at least by this time in the year, the students know who are those other students that are struggling. And so if the teacher stops and talks to that student, and they know, like, I could get my book out now. Of course, they do talk to each other too, but they don't go out of control. They know when that teacher is done talking to that student that they'll be right back to work. So it's what works for you. What is the foundation that you have in your class? What works in your class with your students? Because you want to be consistent. And you want to lay the foundation so they know the expectations in your class, because that is laying that groundwork. And I know for the most part, you have already done that. But like I said, now is a time to readjust, look at it again. Are there expectations we need to change? Do we need to add some? Do we need to take some away? You know your students pretty well by now and what works for them. So definitely looking at the foundations and expectations you have in your class is a great time to do that now. So another way that you can help your students become more engaged is by using and engaging 5 core behavior strategies. So I'll just name them off and then we'll go through them again. And yes, I'm looking at my cheat notes. Number 1, again, is holding to the expectations that you have in your class. Number 2 is doing a check-in or a check-out with certain students. Having praise and positive reinforcement. Being proactive, having those things in place. And then 5, teaching that replacement behavior. Because once we get them stopping whatever it is they're doing, what do we want them to do? What should they be doing next? So, number 1, holding to those said expectations. This is really hard sometimes because, again, we just want them to stop that disruptive behavior. And sometimes we're like, okay, we can do, let's go do a break. Okay, let's get up and walk. We'll go do a break. You don't have to do any work. And of course, sometimes, yeah, that works and they're up and they're gone. Or one of my pet peeves is when somebody else walking past us in the hallway, if our student is laying on the floor, and they just walk up and like, oh, you want to come to my office? Let's go play a game. And of course the student gets up and goes. Like, that's not helpful. Yes, you got them off of the floor in the hallway. They're not hurting themselves. They're not hurting anybody else. And so now you've just taken away that expectation. Granted, we do have students, once they're back from whoever it was they were with, we do bring them right back to the expectation. So if they didn't finish their math, they're going to finish their math before they move on for their day. Before they even get back into their gen ed class, you're going to come and finish the math that you didn't do. Or writing, whatever it was that they were supposed to be doing and then got interrupted by somebody else, we're bringing them right back to that expectation. And for the most part, at that point, they're fine. And, you know, they finish the work in like 5 minutes. It's like, dude, you could have had this done and we could have avoided this whole thing. But sorry, it is definitely holding them to that expectation. Because if we don't, then they know that they can get away with it. And so we have seen behaviors just increase and increase and increase because they're not held to the expectation and they have no consequence for their behaviors. And then people are like, well, I don't know why, like this is happening and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you're not holding them to the expectation to what they should be doing. And granted, you may not be able to do that the whole time in your class, while of course you have 30, 20 other students that you need to be teaching. And so that's where we come in as support staff and other support staff in the school being able to come in and help with that student so that you can move on to teaching the rest of your class. So however you have the dynamics in your school, having that support staff, I'm sure is crucial to helping you be successful with all of your students. So number two is a check-in, check-out. And granted, this can be done with, again, other staff. If it's not, you know, a good time for you. Like, I get it. You're doing your whole class. It may not be, I cannot think of the word. It may not be conducive of you to take the time to check in, go through, and this would be like their goals for the day, a behavior chart we have for our students where they earn points. Sometimes it's just, you know, checking in and just talking to them. They don't have a behavior chart, but you know that this student may be struggling and their family is going through something. And so having either you or somebody else in your building be able to connect with that student and just say, hey, how's it going? How was your night? Did you get breakfast this morning? All of these things, we know hunger is like a huge deal with some of our students who have been through trauma. Because A, they never have enough food. They've had to hide food in order to eat it. They've been denied food. And so we hold no food over them at all. Unfortunately, I have seen some people do that. Like, you're not getting this. You don't get this. Ugh, that's not good. That's not the way to help your students learn the positive behaviors that they need. So you would usually, and especially if it's first thing in the morning when this student is struggling, it's always, have you had breakfast? And if breakfast is over in the school, usually we always have snacks in our class. I'm sure your school counselor probably has snacks. Sometimes the class teacher will have snacks. I'm sure somebody could find a snack, you know, for that student. So again, checking in, seeing where they're at, asking questions. And then, you know, it could be as easy and quick as like a couple minutes. And that student is ready to get back to class. Other times you can tell they need a minute. And we've had students just chill in our room for a few. And then we check back in, we give them their time, their space. And then we check back in and we're like, how's it going? Do you want to talk now? Sometimes they do. Other times they're like, no, I'm just ready to go to class. It's like, okay, great. And so they're back in their gen ed class. Other times, you know, they may just be so upset that they're not going to talk for a while. Other times we've had students, they're exhausted, they're tired, and they actually fall asleep. So it really just depends, but being able to check in with those students that you know who are struggling and who may be having some family struggles right now, it's great to be able to check in with that student. And those who have a behavior chart or a behavior goal sheet, you know, checking in with them like, okay, buddy, so what are your goals today? And how are we going to meet those goals? And if we struggle, what can we do? This is all part of being proactive and just helping them realize that they do have strategies. They do know what they need to do. And if they don't, then of course we show them, we help them, we give them the tools that they need. So the third one is the praise, the positive reinforcement. So again, sometimes we will just check in on students and we see they've made their goal for reading and we're just like, dude, you did so awesome. Like, great job. And that's all they need. Other times, we've had students have behavior goal sheets for the morning, and then we've had them for the afternoon. It just depends on your student and how you think, what's going to help them be successful. Is it easier just to break it down for the morning and get through the morning and help them be successful there? Then they have lunch, recess, and like, okay, it's a reset. It's the afternoon. How can you be successful here? And giving them that positive reinforcement. And that could be those praise, the positive words. Sometimes we've had students, you know, they work for little, you know, toys, little fidgets, little prizes. And again, sometimes it's just in the morning, like they've made their goal for that morning. Now let's work on this afternoon and know that you have this to look forward to. That definitely works really well with the younger kids because, you know, their attention is very, very short. And so being able to let them see that tangible reward is really motivating for a lot of them. So what positive reinforcement works for your students? Sometimes it's maybe just extra reading time. Like, you know, we have amazing students who love to read. Or is it drawing? Maybe they just want some extra drawing time. If you're able to do an extra recess, you know, for your whole class, sometimes that's a great incentive to help your students and their behavior by reminding them, like, it's the whole class that's going to be rewarded. Of course, I have seen the opposite where that student now is definitely pinpointed so that if they don't meet that goal, now everybody's like, oh, well, it's your fault. You did this. So, you know, it's whatever you think would work for your class and motivate your students and to give them that positive reinforcement. It may not be the class as a whole. It may just be the individual that really needs it. So how are you going to positively reinforce your students' positive behaviors? So again, number four is being proactive. Like I said, it's prepping them, going over those goal sheets for the day. Or if you're doing journaling, Journaling is a great way to be proactive and giving your students time to reflect, time to process, you know, maybe something that's happened over the weekend. And it could be a positive thing, but they still need to process. And sometimes I've seen teachers do journaling in the morning, just kind of a gratitude journal, or maybe go over what goals they want to do that day. Or again, just a free write. Writing whatever comes to their mind is a great way to do journaling as well. Or I've seen teachers do it at the end of the day, and they just write, you know, how their day went, maybe what they've learned that day, or what they struggled with that day. So journaling is a great way to be proactive as well. So number five is teaching those replacement behaviors. And a lot of that is modeled all day. I mean, you do this modeling behavior all day long with your students and the way you're interacting with everybody. And your students are watching. And I know sometimes we lose sight of that, but they are watching and they're taking notes. And we, our behavior team has done some modeling for some students, some classes, just the class as a whole. Like one of us would do the not appropriate behavior, and then the other one would model the appropriate behavior. And just really being clear on what we want our students to do and how we want them to behave. Because I think sometimes just a general, okay, be good, is vague. Like, they're not sure. They don't know. I mean, being good, I guess, could mean different things. Who knows? So being really clear on being or teaching those replacement behaviors is really vital to helping them succeed and see, well, okay. And sometimes it's just a simple, you know, like one of our students just shouts out all the time. So we're just reminding him, dude, you have something to say? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand, keep it in, and wait until the teacher calls on you. Because that is a replacement behavior. So instead of automatically, you know, saying what they just can't wait to say, we're trying to teach them, here's a replacement behavior, raise your hand and wait to be called. And then again, the coping skill of if you don't get called on, you know, because now they've done that behavior that we've asked them to do, but now they're still not getting called on. So now they're upset because nobody called on them. I raised my hand like you told me, you know, we could go on and on, but it's giving them coping skills. So now, okay, you're right, buddy. She didn't call on you, but guess what? It's early in the morning. Like, you still have all day to keep raising your hand. So eventually she will call on you. It's just not right now. And, you know, it's everybody taking a turn, you know, however you need to explain that to your students to help them be successful by teaching those replacement behaviors. And, you know, it's just the little things, right? Sometimes we have students who've had pica, or they, you know, where they just want to put everything in their mouth. They need to chew on something. They have to have something. And, I'm sure some of you know they have necklaces that have like a fidget on there. It's like a silicone rubber thing, and students can chew on that instead. So they're not putting paper in their mouth, chewing up their pencils. Like, I've seen that. Rocks. They chew on rocks as much as they can. So giving them, yes, we know they still have this sensory issue, but here's a replacement for you to chew on and get that sensory, but you're doing it in a more positive way where it's not going to be dangerous that a student's going to choke on something else. So it could be that little. It could be whatever your students are struggling with, giving them, teaching them those replacement behaviors. Because when they learn those replacement behaviors, then they're going to be ready to be more engaged in their learning And then that disruptive behavior lessens. And again, students who struggle with behavior, their behavior is never obviously going to be 100% perfect. You know, we all have good days, bad days. But for the most part, as we teach them these tools and resources, they can learn to be successful and being the best learner that they can. So I just want to recap again. Let me just double check our time as well. So laying the foundation in your classroom, adjusting that foundation, coming back from spring break, are there expectations you need to increase? Because now you've seen your students grow and they've met these. So let's kick it up a notch and be like, guess what, guys? This is what's needed now. So you need to work on this. That's really important too, because, you know, you're challenging them to continue to grow. So what foundations or what expectations in your foundation of your classroom can you adjust? Can you make better? Can you take away? How can you continue to grow your students in that way? And those expectations are, you know, their learning, their social skills, the way they're interacting with each other. Those are all part of laying the foundation in your class. And then again, engaging in those five core behavior strategies is one, holding to those expectations. Whatever said expectations you have for your students at that time, holding them to it. Because that again is going to challenge them and cause them to grow. Number two, doing that check in and check out. I don't think I really talked about check out, but kind of the same. Checking out with that student. How was your day? Where did you struggle? What strategies could we have used here instead? You know, just again, another teaching moment for those students who need a little extra guidance. Giving them that positive feedback again. A positive reinforcement. We do that with all of our students. We meet with them in the morning, which is our check-in, and then we meet with them at the end of the day, our check-out, seeing how their day went, giving that positive reinforcement. They also get a tangible reinforcement, which they love. And so that really motivates and encourages them to continue in their behaviors. A side note, we have one student who sometimes, depending on how he's doing, will come in and be like, well, today I'm not having a good day. You know, and he's already made up his mind. He's not having a good day. He's going to struggle. I don't want to be in class. And so we're like, all right, it's going to be one of those days. Or sometimes he comes in and he's like, it's going to be a good day. You know, mom's promised me this or that. And so having parents as well come alongside you, as you know, just gives more reinforcement of what you are trying to teach as well. And so if they are able to follow through at home and give them positive reinforcement, I mean, that's just even better, I think, in some ways, because, you know, one of our students, oh, I got to get a smartwatch, you know. Oh, I'm going to get Nintendo Switch. Oh, I'm going to do, you know, all of these things. Yes, help. But in some ways, like they're not always going to be able to get those tangible rewards or reinforcement. So we want to show them like you're doing the right thing to do the right thing, or you're learning to be the best you can be because of, you know, your future. And granted, you know, a first grader isn't always going to be super excited about that chit chat. But, you know, obviously we are trying to set them up for success for their future. And so laying the foundation, giving that positive reinforcement, doing the check-in, check-out, having, I think I said holding to the expectations. Sorry, being proactive beforehand, and that ties in with the check-in. You know, if you see like he's already struggling, okay, so what can we put in place, buddy? How can we help you succeed? You know, a lot of times when our students get dysregulated, we're like, what do you need? How can we help you? You know, we want you to succeed. We want you to be back with your class. And granted, sometimes they do know, and it takes a little while for them to tell us. Other times we've had them say, I don't know what I need. All right. Okay. I'll give you a minute. We can check back in. You know, other times they're hungry. Sometimes it's nice when it is an easy fix, because obviously we can't fix everything. We can't fix their family life. We can't fix what traumatic events they may be going through. We can't fix all those exterior, things. But we can do as much as possible when they are in our care, in our building, in our school classroom. We can do as much as possible. And that's by getting these things in place and consistently showing up. And that's what you guys are doing. And you're doing amazing. And hang on, we're almost to the end of the school year. But again, thank you so much for being here. So, as you know, honestly, I am also here to show you that I do have some ways that we could work together in order to help your students succeed, in order to get your students more engaged, in order to lessen that disruptive behavior. And so I have a few plans coming out. I will share some more tomorrow, but one, I will have a monthly behavior chat that you can sign up for. I'm doing a 3-month behavior ally that you can sign up for. And then I'm also have a behavior partner that you can sign up for. And these are all different increments of time, whatever you feel you need to be supported to get the experience and knowledge to help you help your students succeed. And I get it. Like, I totally understand, you know, not signing up right away. I'm definitely one of those that like, let me check this out, you know, find out a little bit more. And so I encourage you, listen in to my podcast, check out my website. I'm on all the social media platforms, for the most part. So again, I want to encourage you. You're doing great. You're doing awesome. And if you do have any questions about any of this material that I just shared, please DM me, in LinkedIn, Facebook. I do have a Facebook group you could join. Behavior Strategies for Class, and also email me, Diane at Behavior Strategies for Class. I would love to connect with you there and get any of your feedback. If you just have a comment you want to say, I would love to hear that. So thank you so much for.
Well, guys, I never ended up doing my third day of live teaching because I came down with the flu, which, you know, is fabulous again over spring break. But anyways, I wanted to let you know I am opening up my Become a Behavior Expert Masterclass only until this Friday, the 5th. And I'm looking for 3 people, a max of 3 people to sign up. And this is where you really learn to become the expert. You learn the tips and tricks to deal with any behaviors that your students come up with. You won't even blink at what's happening because you'll know exactly what you need to do. And if that strategy doesn't work, you know the next strategy that you can use. So I want to encourage you, check out Become a Behavior Expert Masterclass. Again, I gave you all the ways that you can contact me, ask any questions. I would love a chance to work with you and get those skills down even more in tune for you. And it is an individualized program, and it is customizable for you and your schedule, and however often you want to get together, we can work all of that out because I want it to meet your needs, your specific students' needs, and how can we help them succeed through the end of the year and into next year. So this is my 6-month program. Again, Become a Behavior Expert Masterclass is open today, and it will be only open until Friday, April 5th at midnight. The doors will close, and I can't wait to hear from you there. Also, I have another way that you can support me if you're interested and you don't want to commit to the 6 months. Like, I get that. You can just donate online, and I have a payment set up, and it's called Online Payment at Behavior Strategies for Class. And all you do there is just donate whatever amount of money you want to this program, to this podcast. I would really appreciate that as well. So check it all out. There's lots of cool things happening here, and I am here to support you in any way that I can. So enjoy the rest of your week, and I will see you next Wednesday. Thanks so much.